this is a big crowd every week we come here, but yet it's so important to remember that God is interested in the individual, even as we sit among the crowd this morning. Amen? Shall we stand to our feet as we read Scripture this morning? Because Joshua 23 will be our passage for today. Now, as we read Scripture this morning, I want us to imagine that we are part of the audience that we are listening to Joshua address. Because it's addressing elders, leaders, and a crowd of people. But imagine that you're right there listening to Joshua speak. Okay? Let's do that. Joshua chapter 23, verses 1 to 14. At the count of three, join me as we read Scripture together. 1, 2, 3. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, officials, and said to them, I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of your routes, 1,000, because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May you take your seats right now in the presence of God. It's so good to read scripture together, declare it, proclaim it, internalize it, and live it out. Amen? Now, if there's a phrase that we could summarize this whole passage as we just read 1 to 14, it's going to be this: stay on course. And today, that's the topic of our sermon. And I want to just say this to all of us here as you listen to the sermon, stay on course. Okay, is that okay? It's just a reminder because I don't know why we talk about food a lot, Pastor Chris, you know, we talk about, you know, wonton mee, char kway teow, we're Malaysians, right? So we love all kinds of food. But if your stomach is growling today, this is just a reminder, stay on course, at least till the end of my messages, okay? Yeah. Let's move on here. Stay on course. Now, chapter 23 is a reminder, is a refresher. And perhaps for many of us here today, there are just different situations we have come with from this past week, this past month, years, a decade. You have lived your life, and right here, seated on this purple chair or right up there, scarlet-colored chairs, you may come with a certain situation. It could be a family situation. It could be a work environment that you're praying about, because it's getting really stuffy in there, you know, you're getting really pressured, stressed out, and it's affecting you. You could have a marriage situation where you're struggling in your marriage. You could have a rebellious son or daughter where perhaps you have been grappling and wrestling through issues with your child, your teenage child. It could be a ministry that you're part of that you're thinking lately, hey, should I even remain in this ministry? Should I get out of it? Should I even leave church? You know, should I even leave CG? I hope none of us have too many of these questions, but if you do, perhaps this is for you. Perhaps somewhere, somehow, this message of staying on course is for you, because it's not just about your course at the end of the day, because it's part of a bigger story that we're a part of, ultimately, story of God, and we can be a part of that. Amen? Now, I just want to give you a context again. You know, these last two chapters, we're coming to the tail end of Joshua. The last chapter is chapter 24, and we will conclude it, and Pastor Chris is going to preach and just pull it all together next week, and I'm excited about it, you know, just to hear the final chapter of Joshua. In fact, next weekend is also our Next Gen weekend, as you've heard in the Next Gen the announcements just now. So come excited, because we're going to conclude the series. But you know, in every conclusion, in every person's life, there's always something important to say. And that's what Joshua is also gathering. That's why he's gathering the elders, the leaders, you know, of Israel to address. And the final chapter is where he addresses the whole congregation, the whole group of people, the tribes, where he will address them. So in any final address, it tells us that it's very important what we say, because it's based on all that we've gone through in life. For Joshua, he's gone through battles, victories, good and bad decisions, you know, headaches in life, disappointments perhaps, you know, all kinds of situations he has gone through. And now he is right getting near his tail end of his life, and this is what he tells the leaders, the elders, or his board. Because it's very important words that I want to draw us towards as we come to the last lap of this important book of Joshua, or as part of our Legacy Makers series. And so here's the big idea, because I want to just unpack three main points today. Just drawing out from this passage, there are many things that we can learn from Scripture, but I want to just pack it up in three main areas that links up to this big idea that we're going to talk about today. It is easier to fill in the blanks, but hold fast to a steadfast God. If you can just remember this as we go along, that'd be wonderful, because three main points, if you can remind yourselves that it is easier to do, because a lot of us, as we're talking about staying on course, we're probably looking at the easier way out, likely the more convenient way out. But stay with me, Scripture is going to remind us about what we need to do or not do. Okay, are you ready for this? The three points, maybe the first point is a bit longer, and the second and third is a bit shorter, and it will draw towards a close, and then we can go for Char Kway Teow. Just kidding, no, okay. We can go for whatever you want to go, but stay on course, all right? First point is this. It is easier to stray than to stay, but hold fast. It is easier to stray than to stay, but hold fast. How many of you, you know, spouse, I just need to say this, you know, when we go shopping with your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you're supposed to get something, right? But someone strays. I stray? Oh, no, I'm just talking about my wife strays sometimes. We're supposed to get something, but you're distracted along the way, and you look at this, oh, this is so good, you know, we've got to go off now, but hey, can we take a look at this first? You know what I'm saying? Okay, it's a very quiet crowd. That means maybe not all of you like shopping. That's fine, okay? Some of us stray in different ways. We watch a lot of Korean dramas. No sound again. Okay, that leaves me and maybe, you know, yeah, a little bit. Okay, that's fine. My wife is walking away. It's not because she's convicted, but I mean, it's a stress reliever, okay? Stress reliever, you know. But anyway, just to let us know that we identify with some of you, okay? Stray is easier to stray than to stay the course. Let me read Scripture here, Joshua 23, verses 6 to 8 says this, "Be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left." Distraction, it speaks of distraction. "Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down before them, but you have to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now." Now, in the history of Israel, in the course of time, you would remember that there's a weak spot that Israel has. And it has to do usually with the area of idolatry or sexual sin. And you know that, you know, it's up and down, right? It's a roller coaster ride for the Israelites. You know, someone can be reminding them, the prophet can be reminding them, hey, come back on course, stay on course. I mean, even Joshua, as it ends to the tail end, when you move on to the book of Judges, you will see a downhill pattern already. Immediately. What's wrong with these guys? Okay? But at the same time, it's interesting to know that they are called a holy nation, a people belonging to God. But they stray, and so do we. Now, how many of you here have strayed away from the Lord before? Just a show of hands. Wow. I hope that some of you are encouraged here, because many of us have strayed away to some degree in our course in following Christ. For some reason, we have strayed away. You know, just a bit of my journey. As I was growing up, there was something that I really wrestled with. It's the mind, you know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And I grew up with that crutch. I struggled with that. It affected my studies. It affected how I would carry myself. And it was a crutch that I was struggling with. And sometimes the string is not just because, you know, when I grew up, you know, a lot of my friends would see me as quite a good guy, you know, a nice guy. I hope he's still nice now, you know. And they would not see me as someone, or paikia, you know. They would not see me as that. They would see me as someone, okay, he's a good guy, you know. But lo and behold, they didn't know what I was struggling with internally, mentally, you know, emotionally. It was straining because there was a certain image that I had created for myself in what people would see of me, but not, they don't know what I was struggling with. And there I was going to church and serving God and all the guilt that was I had to embrace or take up, you know, and it was miserable. Straying may not just be externally noticed, but what you're going through in your mind, even right now, you may be straying away. And the Lord had to graciously deal with some of these things in my life, in my thought patterns, by His grace, by His reminder of His love, by His forgiveness, to come to this place and say, God, thank you for setting me free. Thank you for helping me through this journey, because we all stray, but God is gracious, God is good, to restore, to rescue, to save us. Amen? We all stray. The Israelites stray. And you read in verse 13, right? They become snares and traps, whips on your back and thorns in your flesh. Now, I want to highlight to us this word. Who do you associate with? Because in this chapter itself, at least twice, the word associate is mentioned, right? And some of us perhaps are saying, come on, I mean, how do we not associate with people today, you know? How do we not connect with people that we're supposed to do life with? I thought we were supposed to associate with people so that we can reach them for Jesus. And perhaps some of us wonder about that. Now, if you think about it for a moment, God is a holy God. God is pure. In fact, one of the main attributes of God is His holiness. It's only one attribute that is said three times in a row. Holy, holy, holy. You know, we have not heard like, love, love. I'm going to sing the song, love, love, love. But holy, holy, holy. God is a holy God. He's a loving God. But the flip side of the coin is that He's a holy God. And there is an issue with contamination among the people of Israel. That's why He keeps saying, hey, you've got to make sure that nothing is left behind. Everything is destroyed. But time and again, there is always that compromise. You know, the contamination. Now, how many of you like to drink contaminated water? Say, no one. Maybe some of you, I dare, you know. Maybe you might handle that for a while, but you don't want to drink that every day. Nothing contaminated is going to be good in the long term and long run. Even it's going to be even fatal. And that's the heart of God, because He's a holy God. He desires for the people, His people, to not be contaminated with their mixed marriages and associations with the nations that were left behind. And that was crucial, that was something that the Israelites would take and pay attention to. But you know what? I want to bring us to this word holy, because some of us wrestle, God, you have placed me where I've been placed at, but how do I live out a holy life? Now, what's the definition of holy? To be set apart. In fact, to be set apart, the word Kadesh, the Hebrew word, set apart for a purpose. I mentioned this now, the nation of Israel is called a holy nation, amen? Were they perfect? Was Israel perfect? Far from it. time after time, they fail, they fall. But yet, they're called a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why are they holy? Because they are called towards God. They're called to a purpose. They're set apart for a purpose, a holy people, a holy nation. And that's who you and I are as well. We're holy. We're holy. We're not perfect, but because we're set apart. And that's important to recognize that as we walk this journey of our faith, that we can be holy. We need to be set apart. We need to be mindful of who we associate with. But yet, we need to be mindful of why are we set apart? Because we are set apart for a purpose in which He has destined us to take up, to fulfill in our lives. And I say this with passion and conviction because some of us here perhaps, maybe we are, for example, some of us in a creative line, you struggle with this. How do we live a life that is set apart? Well, you live a life that is set apart doing the purpose which is called you to do, but you also hold fast to a steadfast God. Because verse 6 to 8 talks about this. Do not, mentions a few things, verses 6 to 8, 7 items that he mentions, but he ends with this, but you hold fast. Can you be holy in the advertising line? Yes? No? Can you be holy in the business line? Yes? Can you be holy as students in a world that has a lot of distractions? Can you be holy? You can be, because you're set apart, but you're set apart for a purpose, fulfilling that very purpose in which you are called for. You know, so it's not so much that associations would define your holiness, it can affect it, but you must be set apart for His purposes to be fulfilled in your life. Amen? In fact, I rejoice because, you know, this thing, last Thursday night, we have a bunch of creative people, creative artists, close to 20 of them, which displayed their work just to express what faith and life is all about. We had an alpha launch party, the place was packed, but we rejoiced because there was creativity in the house. There's creative people out of their own stories were sharing their journey through their art pieces or art conversations. In fact, I encourage you after celebration, right, just go and check it out. Read the stories attached to some of these visual conversations we have and just be in awe of what God is doing. You know, these are precious artists, and I encourage creative people, hold fast as you do what the Lord has called you to do. Amen? Amen. You okay so far? As I've been speaking so fast, I need to pause now. All right. So it is easier to stray than to stay, but hold fast. Hold fast to the steadfast God. And we're going to talk about it later. Point number two, it is easier to forget than to remember. Your spirit. Ah, yeah, of course, lah, obviously. Opposite words, right? But yet, it is so true that we are creatures of forgetfulness, if I can say that. We tend to forget. We forget so easily what we've been just told. You know, if you read chapter 23, it's a whole list of reminders pointing back to what God has done, what God is about to do. Remember, can I just say this? Remember, in the Hebrew context or the background of the word, it's not just about calling out information or information retention. It's about our thoughts followed by deeds. Our thoughts followed by deeds. It's not just to say, hey, I remember, that's good, you know. In fact, it affects. Worship is defined by also remembrance, because remembering in the Bible usually leads or results from purposeful action. It is a part of integral worship and the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what do I mean by that? A part of integral worship. You know, when we gather here every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, it's not just because of an empty ritual we come and just do things together, because we have to. We come to remember and to celebrate and to act on it. Amen? We don't just come to be entertained. We don't just come to enjoy a song with goosebumps. We don't come to be laughing more, although that's part of a church that is joyful. But we come to remember Jesus. We sing those songs that we sing is because we need to be pointed back to Jesus again and again. We do communion because of that, to remember what Christ has done on the cross, how He's paid for us. But why do we remember? We remember so that we can act on it. It's not meant just to be a good retention of information. And I pray that as you leave this place later as well, you're not just going to take back information, but may you act on what you have heard from the preaching of the Word of God today. Amen? You know, one of the things that I try to do when I preach, one of the stories that I usually share with the people that I also have one-on-one with, you know, that I'm new to connect with or over time, is the story of my brother. The reason why I continuously, you know, share, and well, just give you a context, because some of you may not know, I had a younger brother, his name was Mervin, who drowned trying to save someone about 17 years ago. 19 and a half years old, I find myself every time, you know, I share my life and share my story, that incident has always been a part of a watershed experience in my life, because it has formed, in fact, been part of the process of forming Christ in me as well, to know what laying down one's life is all about, what the gospel is all about. Because my brother, we took life-saving lessons before, he tried to save someone. He was not swimming. He tried to rescue someone. He tried for the second time. But the second time, he got into trouble as well. And on that day, five people perished. 1999 in Sungai Chiling. The reason why I continue to go back, not just to grieve, but to go back and say, God, what can I learn from this situation? What can I learn about you? Because even with all our abilities, what we know how to do, our skill sets, our brilliance, it is not enough to save us. Because we all need a Savior. And when I remember these things, I come back and say, God, let it not be me, but let it be you that I depend on, because I need you. Remember, it's not just thought, but it's deed as well. Amen? We need to remember God's goodness. Pastor Chris shared stories after stories. We need to remember as a church what God has done through different lives. That's why we encourage all of us to share stories. Why? You think it's just another activity that we do because we've got nothing to do? No, because God is good and people need to hear about this good God. You know? I think some of these, sometimes we go outside and we hear some of these different talks, you know, or we hear more stories out there than we do hear stories through the church. We need to be sharing out the stories that we're living out so that our children and the generations to come will remember what God has done. You know, and the Old Testament is filled with this word, remember, countless times to remind people to always look to this God that we worship. Okay? All right. This is just one verse to point out, but the whole chapter talks about remembering. Point number three, it is easier to take credit than to give it up. It is easier to take credit than to give it up. Now, this is a very important point to draw us to as well, because the life of Joshua, continuously, as you read Scripture, he attributes success, victories continuously to God. In fact, let me just read to us. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I've allotted as an inheritance for the tribes of the land of the nations that remain? And it goes on, you read the whole chapter. The Lord your God fights for you. It repeats itself. Joshua, you know, did not take the credit, although he was part of the battle. But he continues to point people to God Almighty. You know, and sometimes in our lives, you know, it's very easy, or it's easier for us to keep part of the credit, especially, let me just give you a scenario, okay? Especially when you are an employee and you want your boss to know that that idea belongs to you. You came up with it. I was talking to my wife just maybe 2 days ago about the whole advertising line, because she came from that advertising line. There was one incident where she had an idea, and she had to go and leave because she was not feeling well. But lo and behold, her colleague took that idea and presented it to the boss as her own idea. Have you ever been there before? I mean, as in, have you taken other people's idea, or have you? She's like, oh, why are you laughing? Is it because you identify with it? It's so subjective, right? In a creative line, ideas are so subjective, because, in fact, there are advertising agencies which have to be, I mean, they have to retract their awards because they have copied somebody's idea. But we're all very protective people. Hey, that's my idea. How come it looks like my drawing, you know? But you know what? God is a creative God. And my wife was just sharing that she has learned how to say, God, give me an idea, you know? I need an idea. But she was more possessive and protective. And actually, now sometimes we just friendly banter at home. That's just my idea, right? You know? No, it's my idea to design the kitchen this way, right? No, it's my idea to, you know, friendly banter. But it just shows sometimes the condition of our hearts to want to make sure that we get the credit, to make sure that someone notices what we're doing, to make sure that someone compliments us. Been there? Very real situations and feelings, because we want to be affirmed. And that's nothing wrong to be affirmed. There's nothing wrong to be appreciated. In fact, we should do that more as a church. Appreciate each other, encourage one another, affirm each other, but don't live for that. In fact, give the glory to God. If someone's going to come and compliment you, hey, that was great worship today. You know, be a signpost. Because all of us are called to be a signpost that reflects back to God. I'm not saying this, that when someone comes and compliment you and say, hey, you know, you did so well for this thing, you know. I mean, you thank you for leading this ministry. And you won't always just go, oh, it's the Lord. Oh, it's God. Ah, yeah, it's all God. You know, then it looks pretty much also unreal, right? Fake sometimes. But you take it and say, thank you for the encouragement. Thank you, but God is gracious. He's good. I'm doing what I'm doing because He's called me to do this. That posture of our hearts that says it all. Give Him the glory like Joshua did. It is the Lord that fought this battle. And I pray that as a church, as individuals at your workplaces, will continually know how to point it back to God, or even learn to give the credit to others. Say, hey, it's the team that did this together. It takes a lifetime sometimes to learn this, because we grow up very self-made, right? We grow up like, hey, that's my, as kids, children, no, that's mine, you know. I did, mommy, did you see what I did? Daddy, and then sometimes we are talking as parents, no, and they're trying to get our attention, you know, but we don't, did you see? And then they get upset, why didn't you see my work, you know? That's how we grew up. Sometimes it's adults, boss, did you see my work? No, did you see? And we throw a tantrum. I'll leave it as that, okay? Because we all, perhaps, know what we're saying. Joshua had a constant and consistent attribution of credit and success that was given to God. It is God. It was God. When we stand back and think about it, it is God that has brought us thus far as a church, as individuals, as families. It is God. Where you are right now in your journey, it is God. Even if you have been brilliant, you know, in what you do, in generating great ROIs, even your brilliance is from God. May we come with a posture continuously and say, hey, God, it is You. Jesus, it is You. It is because of the work on that cross. There's nothing that I can boast about but to boast in You. That posture that we come with, in all that we're excited about, in all that we're excellent about, it's for Him, it's unto Him, it's to Him. three points we just unpacked today. It is easier to stray than to stay. It is easier to forget than to remember. It is easier to take credit than to give it up. We're not done yet with the message. The last lap here. I want to draw us to this phrase because we talk about holding fast to a steadfast God. What does it actually mean to hold fast? In fact, who is this steadfast God we're talking about? Because you can only hold fast to something or someone who is stable, immovable, consistent, unchanging, solid. You can't hold fast or hold firm to anything that is shaky, sinking, giving way, cracking up under pressure. There's no way you can hold fast to something that would give way. But you can hold fast to something or someone that is immovable, unchanging, stable, consistent, constant, solid as a rock. Our God is steadfast. In fact, Psalm 25, verse 10 says this, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. And some of us here need to be reminded of this God that we're holding fast to, because maybe we have lost some amount of faith or trust. Maybe because we have read Scripture and we don't really believe what we're reading. For example, do not associate with, but the thing that I do, how can not associate? But you fail to unpack it further and to think, God, what are you saying when you're saying this in the context of the people then? What are you saying to me? Because the moment you entertain thoughts of mistrust and distrust in His Word, and you begin to dichotomize your life, we get into trouble. This God is steadfast. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5 says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. We need to recognize that this God is solid. Things around us can change. People around us will disappoint. Our very own best friends, loved ones can hurt us. Situations in life may be unpredictable because everything moves and changes. But that's why we need to recognize that we can hold firm and hold fast to someone who is unchanging, solid. The very reason we can gather here today is because we have a God who's unchanging. A God who loves us. A God whose love is steadfast, that defines all His path, as we read in Psalm 25, verse 10 just now. So who do we hold on to? Who do we hold firmly to? The steadfast God. Not just to any other God. Not just to ourselves. Not just to our jobs. Not just to our children. Not just to name it. We hold fast and hold firmly to this solid, unchanging, immovable God. So we gather here, when we worship, there's no one that matches this God. There's no one that compares to Him. He's the ultimate, supreme one. No one compares to this Christ that we worship and adore. And we need to remember. We need to get together, gather together, do life together and say, wow, God is awesome in our midst. And perhaps some of us here, we've been stagnant in our journey because we failed to remember. We failed to recognize that God is good. We've been disillusioned somewhere, somehow, because something didn't come to pass, perhaps according to your timeline, perhaps according to your agenda, perhaps according to what you think should happen. but as you align your thoughts and your heart to this God who's steadfast, stable, immovable, unchanging, you begin to see that, hey, He knows the why, and He has the reason. And in fact, the cause, the ultimate cause, is not just about whether we are happy or happier. The ultimate cause or the ultimate promised land is not just about heaven. It's about holiness. It's about being more and more like Christ, whom we can hold on to when the going gets tough. As I close today, I'm going to invite the musicians up. First Corinthians 15:2, it's not on the screen, it says this: by this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Otherwise, when you come here, when you and I sit here, if you don't hold firmly to the word of God, because who we trust, we never got to ask us, you trust God? Yes, I do. You really trust God? Is He your shepherd? Yes, He is, because Psalm 23 says that. I will not be in want. Yes, amen. But when tough time comes, when you lack something, when you struggle in life, I'm not sure whether God is really my shepherd. I'm not sure even if this is for me anymore. I'm not sure if this is relevant, you know, in today's culture and context. But we're not here to believe in vain. We're here to hold firmly to the unchanging word of God. So we all came here with different situations. We all came here with family situations, work environments that we're struggling with, children that we are grappling with. How do we raise them up in the fear of God? Straying away, you know, some of your kids, you find that they may be straying away. In fact, some of our adults here, maybe there are people here, your heart has strayed away. You used to be on fire. You used to be so passionate. You used to be so regular to church, not because it's just something that to do to please men or I have to do it, but because it reflects your love for God. That's why you're here. You love to sing. You love to dance. Have you held on firmly? There's hope in God. He's the anchor of our souls. In fact, it says that in Peter, right? First Peter, I think. He holds it all together. You may have gone through different things in life, right? Many hurts and upsets, and you can't. God, I can't stay the course. But He's saying today, stay the course. Stay the course of faith and follow me. If anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. It's a way of inconvenience. It's not always fine and dandy. It's not always problem-free. It's not always that good life, although there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to count the cost. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this place. Sweet. Just pause and say, God, help us to stay the course. Help us to hold fast. Help us to hold firmly, because you are unchanging. It is easier to stray, but God, I will stay. It is easier to forget, God, but I will remember. I will engage with community. I will do life with people that you want me to do life with. It is easier to take the credit, but I will continue to be a signpost for you, to point people to Jesus when they compliment, when they say, hey, great job, when they say, hey, wow, you pointed back to Jesus. Can you imagine, so powerful, with all the people represented here continuing to point people to Jesus, the posture, powerful, because they will see Jesus in our lives.